by for unindoctrination.
The Christian Whistleblower.
Connected.
The Christian Whistleblower.
You are now connected.
And now, taking on over 2,000 years of doctrination head-on, stand by for deep-end information. Asking questions you're already afraid to ask. Stand by for parabiblical research, spiritual technology. Get ready to be your own guru. Master your own ascension. Guide your own spirit. And now, showing you how, here's the Christian Whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, hello, folks. This is Jeffrey Dardy. I am your Christian Whistleblower. We are back for another great week of programming. Tonight, of course, it's the Christian Whistleblower Show, and this is Jeffrey Dardy welcoming you to the Christian Whistleblower Show. Just a little lag in our live simulcast over on jeffreydardy.com. That's J-E-F-F-R-E-Y. D-A-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y. So you can hear the audio on Blog Talk Radio, and you can hear and see the video simulcast, the webcast, if you will, at jeffreydardy.com and or christianwhistleblower.com. Glad to be with you tonight. We've got a lot of good stuff going on. We've got a lot of the night. One of the nice things about having the show once a week is you've got a lot of unindoctrinate daily to talk about on a weekly basis. So really, it's unindoctrinate weekly because we'll probably only have this. We may have this a couple times a week, but right now we've got unindoctrinate daily on the website at jeffreydardy.com, christianwhistleblower.com. And tonight we're going to look at unindoctrinate weekly, as it is on the weekly Christian Whistleblower Show. Something I meant to mention last week, simply did not get to it. Scientists have created embryos that are both animal and human. That's right. Scientists have created embryos, folks, that are both animal and human. Scientists in the United States are doing something that some people find disturbing. They're making embryos that are part human, part animal. These embryos, known as chimeras, could eventually help save the lives of people with a wide range of diseases. One way would be to use chimera embryos to create better animal models to study how human diseases happen and how they progress. Perhaps the boldest move is to create farm animals that have human organs that could be transplanted into terminally ill patients. Folks, I don't know about you, but this is more than a little bit upsetting to me. This is more than a little bit worrisome to me. This is more than a little bit scary to me. We're actually in the process of creating human-animal hybrids. Do you understand that we are making animal-human hybrids? Now, of course, Pablo Ross, a reproductive biologist at the University of California, Davis, says, don't worry. We're not trying to make a chimera just because we want to see some kind of monstrous creature. We're doing this for a biomedical purpose. We're doing this to help people. Where have we heard that before? I think we might have heard that among some of the monstrous experimentation in Nazi Germany. I think we may have heard that among the people here in the United States within the Planned Parenthood realm that want to harvest, as they call it, fetal tissue. Of course, we're doing it for a good purpose. Nobody ever does anything bad for bad reasons. Now, I try to stay away from good and bad, black and white. But sometimes, folks, some things you just know that they're wrong. And we talk about our blink all the time. And man, human animal chimeras, I just don't see how that can ever be a good idea way too much opportunity for humans to get involved and do things that humans are going to do. And man, some of the things that humans do, like this story right here, I can't believe I actually saw this. I've heard of Jesus on toast. I've heard of Jesus on Windows. I've even heard of Jesus in a bagel. But a mom has seen a divine message in her son's diaper. That's right, folks. A divine message in her son's diaper. And she says, today, God sent me a sign. God said, I'm right here by your side. And the sign came in the oddest form, this lady said. My baby pooped a cross in his diaper. That's right, folks. The baby pooped a cross in his diaper. How about that? And that let her know that the Lord was with her because the baby pooped a cross in the diaper. Some people see Jesus in burnt toast. Some see him in a poopy diaper. Personally, I think it looks more like a shark. So maybe she feels closer to Jaws right now instead of Jesus. But folks, are you kidding me? People, this is why we can't allow people to be mixing human and animal DNA, because I know that there's a far cry from that lady to the scientists that are doing the experimentation, but man, that stupid gene is in all of us. That stupid gene's in me, that stupid gene's in you, and folks, you just never know when somebody's going to get ate up with stupid, and that's a very good indication that it is alive and it is well in this world. So creating embryos that are both animal and human, followed by the story of the woman seeing the divine poop, that kind of gives you an idea that maybe we're not ready to be making chimeras, and maybe we're not really trustworthy to have that type of technology at our disposal. Now, this is a rather sobering story. It's from the Washington Post, and it says, primed to fight the government, a fast-growing U.S. movement armed with guns and the Constitution sees a dire threat to liberty. Wow. The folks in this movement call themselves patriots, demanding that the federal government adhere to the Constitution and stop what they see as systematic abuse of land rights, gun rights, freedom of speech, and other liberties. Law enforcement officials call them dangerous, delusional, violent, and say that their numbers are growing amid a wave of anger at the government that has been gaining strength since 2008. And it's very, very difficult for me to come down on one side or another of this issue. I share the concerns and the frustrations of the people that would label themselves patriots, the people that would say they're, you know, arming and preparing to fight the government. These are the people that buy all of Alex Jones's freeze-dried meals. These are the people that buy all of Alex Jones's body armor. These are the people that suck up the fear market that is being stoked by so many broadcasters and people that are doing what we do, and I think are doing it, are just fear mongers. But these are the people. They're stocking up food, guns, ammunition. Now, on the one hand, I'm for being prepared. I'm for having food put away. I'm for having the ability to protect yourself. I'm for having some guns. I'm for having some ammunition. And I do believe that the main reason for the Second Amendment was for the government to know that if they ever got out of control, there is an army of armed citizens that are there to take their country back. The founding fathers knew full well that the Second Amendment and that a well-ordered militia was there to keep the government in order. Jefferson wrote about it extensively, and I can see that point of it. And certainly, you know, Jefferson said every now and then it's a little revolution is a good thing, and you know, we're at that point right now, no doubt about it. But is it time to lock and load against the government? Now, I spent 6 years in the United States Air Force. I'm a law-abiding citizen. And, you know, I was on with Vinnie Eastwood last night for 2 hours. And Vinnie made an interesting statement about this. He said that until they actually attack you physically, until there are bullets flying your way from the government, I don't think it's right for you to start sending bullets back their way. When the government actually literally declares war on its own people, if the government turns its rifles on we the people, then it's time for we the people to return fire, but not until. And I believe that I have to believe we're a long way from having to pick up arms against our government. If you look at what's going on in the political season, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you have insurgent candidates that are shaking up the entire establishment and the entire institution on both sides of the aisle. That's the kind of revolution that we need. We do need to blow some stuff up. We need to blow up the two-party political system. We do need to blow some things up. We need to blow up the way that we elect presidents now. We've seen on both the Republican and the Democratic side this whole super delegate nonsense, which just means that the party bosses and the big donors get to pick their candidate. Trump just had such an overwhelming amount of votes that he was able to supersede that. But poor Bernie Sanders, he keeps winning, 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 and he keeps losing, losing, losing. Now, I am not have not declared a candidate of choice yet in the race, but I'm smart enough to see that this superdelegate thing is just a super rigging of the entire process. So what is happening when we see this type of frustration? What is happening when we see these patently ridiculous things taking place is it feeds this group that is, you know, stoked up and whipped up by people like Jones and his ilk that are just fear mongers, and it really can be a dangerous situation. And I hope that it doesn't get to the place where it becomes even more dangerous. So is it time for a little revolution? Yes, it is. But it's time for some political revolution. It's time for some peaceful disobedience. It's not time to lock and load and take aim at your government or at your government officials. You're wrong to do that. You should not be doing that, in my opinion, at this point. And in the town of Hull over in the UK, they're in fear as there's repeated sightings of a werewolf on the prowl. Eyewitnesses have been traumatized after encountering a half-man, half-wolf beast that some believe is a werewolf called Old Stinker, first sighted in the city 200 years ago. Like the title character in the 1980s movie An American Werewolf in London, the whole creature is described as having glowing eyes, and he has been seen by multiple people. Some people have claimed to have seen eyes moving through the undergrowth. Some people have heard him. And it's very interesting because this is a history of this werewolf over there. So, folks, it looks like there might be an American werewolf in London again. The werewolf hunts are continuing with every full moon. We are determined to sweep the whole area and leave no stone unturned, said one enthusiast. The trouble is we cannot sniff the creature out. There's an overwhelming stink from a local tannery in Hull that is masking the smell of the beast. Some residents have thought that it was a joke, but the vast majority are now treating this very seriously. They really want to find out what is out there in the countryside in Hull. Is there an American werewolf in London? I don't know, but if you're traveling over there, if you live over there, keep one eye open. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, your Christian whistleblower, and we'll be back with more Unindoctrinate Weekly right after these messages. Hi, folks. This is Jeffrey Daugherty. I'm your Christian whistleblower. And in an effort to bring you more information that can help you to be your own guru, guide your own spirit, master your own ascension, we've created a new program called Create Yourself. And it is going to feature interviews with some of the cutting-edge individuals in the realms of spirituality. You've heard our two test shows with radio personality and former Trinity Broadcasting Network insider Cliff Desmond. And you also heard our great interview with former law enforcement assistant chief of police, Martha Hazard Decker, as she talked about applying law enforcement techniques and discipline to the paranormal realm. That's just a taste. That was, as Jack Black said in Nacho Libre, that's just a little taste so you can see what it tastes like. That's all that was. And we're going to be bringing that to you starting next week, every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio with a live simulcast, unless we have some shy guests, but I don't think that's possible. We'll also have the live video simulcast on jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com. So get ready for Unindoctrinate Daily. We're giving you a little test to see what it tastes like, and now we're going to start serving up full meals of Unindoctrinate Daily. Unindoctrinate Daily, Create Yourself will debut on June the 1st, which is a week from tomorrow, and then it will debut with the one, the only, Dr. Rita Louise of Just Energy Radio. We're looking forward to having her on. It's going to be a great time, and it's going to be very, very enlightening. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, your Christian whistleblower, encouraging you to join me next week, June the 1st, for the first Create Yourself program with Dr. Rita Louise. And now, back to the Christian Whistleblower.
The Christian Whistleblower, Jeffrey Daugherty.
I'm very excited to have Dr. Rita Louise coming up a week from tomorrow on our first official Create Yourself program. We've done a couple of them. Soft opens, as they say, in the entertainment business. And we are looking forward next week to having Dr. Rita Louise. That will be our very first official Create Yourself program. And I want you to take a look, if you will, at my T-shirt that I'm wearing tonight. As you can see, it's plastic Jesus. It's the classic Sacred Heart Jesus with the gray alien head. And up on top, if you can read, there's a Latin for "the truth is out there." Now, these great T-shirts are available at christianwhistleblower.com, jeffreydaugherty.com. And if you're listening, if you're getting benefits from this program, ask yourself if you can help support this program, because we can't continue to do it without you. And by purchasing super cool T-shirts like this, that's one way that you can be of help to the program. And I know some of you can't give money right now, but when I post these shows, you can repost my links. You can repost my links a bunch of times and help people come to the show. You can submit me names of people that you would like to see on Unindoctrinate or on Create Yourself. You can send me subject matter that you'd like to see talked about on the Christian Whistleblower. I want you to be involved. I want you to give me support. I want you to give me financial support if you can, because that's what's going to help us grow this message and get this message out to more people. But if you can't, I want you to pitch in and do what you can do, and I know that you will. Back to Unindoctrinate Daily. We talked about the werewolf, and here's something that It comes from Charisma News, Charisma Magazine, which is a silly Christian rag. And the headline is Ex-Witch Reveals How the Occult is Affecting You Every Day. Hidden magic, astrology, supernatural powers or agencies known as the occult are slithering their way into society with little fanfare. And just as terrifying is how many in today's culture consider the elements of witchcraft practically mundane. This, you know, I can't say idiot anymore, because really when you call someone an idiot, you're kind of unloving. You're kind of putting yourself up here and putting them down there. But what other word do I pick to describe a lady that says, each and every time you do witchcraft, you're inviting in demon spirits? What else do I call someone that says each spirit brings something in with it to connect them within your person? False beliefs, sickness, addiction. It's demonic power. This, I can't say idiot. What do I say? I'll open it up to my listeners to give me a word that I can use in place of idiot that doesn't call somebody that word, but yet still captures the frustration that I feel for someone who, really what she's saying is, she has no idea what witchcraft is. I am not a witch, but I know that witchcraft, in biblical terms, is nothing more than you using your intention. Witchcraft is just not buying into the dominant religious paradigm and using your own willpower, your own brain, and your own spiritual essence and energy. Essentially, the biggest witch of them all was Yeshua. Because Yeshua said you don't have original sin within. You've got the spark of divinity within, and you need to go and grow with that. And essentially what Yeshua was teaching was witchcraft. How to use your intention to help better your life and fulfill your destiny. That's what witchcraft really is. And that's why Christianity does everything it can to turn witchcraft into something bad, evil, dark, and nasty. Because once you start getting into understanding your own spirituality and you start getting into understanding your own intention and what you can do with it and through it, and you know that you don't have to give your brain over to a religious organization. So I know that I can't use the word idiot anymore, but if somebody would give me some words that maybe I can use in lieu of idiot, I'll be very, very thankful and grateful to you. And let me close with this. We've got a lot of Unindoctrinate weekly, but we're not going to be able to get to it. But I want to mention this because this deals with something that I've talked about before. It's a miracle, says the headline. Virgin Mary's statue crying a single tear of blood, pilgrimage towards small Colombian town. It's in Florida Blanca, Colombia. One woman says, the Virgin is alive in heaven. I know she's real. Well, I'm sorry to disagree with you, ma'am, but hundreds of ecstatic pilgrims are flocking to a statue of the Virgin Mary believed to be crying a single tear of blood. Images of the statue, which you can see at jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com, with a liquid dripping down its cheek, have been shared on social media, prompting a mass pilgrimage to Florida Blanca in Colombia. Florida Blanca. I don't want to try to translate that right now. But locals believe they've witnessed a miracle, and others are swarming to catch a glimpse. Well, folks, this is what we're going to get used to this, because we're going to see it more and more and more as the Lord tries to create a fervor and an expectancy for his great end-time false flag. Now, you can read about that in Final Message of the Last Apostle, Alien Agenda in the New Testament. That's available on my website at jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com. But you're going to see, and I believe I also wrote about it in that book and certainly have spoken about it with George Norrie on Coast to Coast. You will see the day, folks, where The plastic Jesus figure that is depicted nailed on a crucifix, you will see the day where one of those figures on a crucifix somewhere, probably on live television, will come down off of that crucifix. The nailed plastic Jesus, of course, it's really metal on most crucifixes, but that figure depicted as plastic Jesus nailed on a crucifix will come to life. And probably the not too distant future, somewhere in the world, I'm giving you that by way of prophecy. So stay tuned for what's going to be happening within the world. Get used to crying statues. Get used to bleeding statues. Get used to sightings of crosses in a baby's poop. Get ready, because all the beep is about to hit the fan, because the Lord is going to try to stir up the fervor for his end time false flags. If you have questions or comments about Unindoctrinate Daily, or if you have news items that you'd like me to share, just hit the contact button on jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com, and I will certainly be glad to listen. And I'll certainly be glad to use them. And if I do use them, I will most certainly give you credit for giving me that information. One new thing I want to start doing, I want to start doing a couple new things. We want to start giving you a verse-by-verse exposition of the New Testament. Just a little test, so you can see what it tastes like on every show. And tonight we're going to start with that. We're going to look at the very first verses of the New Testament. And why are you turning to Matthew? We're going to give you the very first verses of the New Testament as it was written chronologically. The way it was really written, when the words were actually, when the books were actually published, we're going to go in order. And the first book is not Matthew. The first book is James. James was written in A.D. 47. It was the very first book of the New Testament to be published. And it was written by James, who was the de facto leader of the original Yeshua movement after the departure of Yeshua. And as we read these things in order, and as we read these verses from a literal Greek to English, and I'm using BibleHub.com, and you can certainly use it. I'm on James chapter 1, and it simply says, James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And the very first words that James says to the infant church is, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. So the very first thing that the Apostle James, who's the leader of the post-Yeshua movement, the very first thing he says is, hey guys, I want you to count all of your trials that you are encountering, esteem them as joy, is what he says. The various trials you are encountering, esteem them as joy. So what does this tell us? This tells us that the reason why the first book of the first of the New Testament itself, the first lines of the first book of the New Testament were written because the faith of the believers was being challenged. James went on and said in verse 3, know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and that endurance, when it is finished, will leave you complete and lacking nothing. You'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, which is really the concept of shalom, perfect because nothing's broken, nothing's lacking. Where that should remind you of something. Who said, my peace I leave with you, but not as the world gives. I leave you perfect peace. that passes all understanding. Who said that? Oh, it was a guy named Yeshua. So somebody or something was happening that was trying to move the original Yeshua movement believers out of the place of shalom, out of the place of perfect peace that passes all understanding. And it was trying to move them from the place of faith that had brought them to this great, perfect peace. What was it? Well, we know it was something that was coming against the Yeshua movement. We know it was something that was so important that James said, I better write a letter to all the churches. And we know that it is the first message of the first book of the New Testament in chronological order. And that ought to get your attention, my friends. That really should get your attention, my friends. Now, this diamonds and dung segment has been brought to you by the Diamond New Testament. It's the very first rendering of the New Testament in the correct chronological order that has ever been published. Imagine that. In 2,000 years, there's never been another edition of the New Testament published with the books in chronological order. Why it took 2,000 years for some crazy, long-haired ex-Pentecostal evangelist to say, hey, why don't we just put the books in the order in which they're originally written? Why it took that long, I can't answer that for you. But I can tell you it is available at jeffreydaugherty.com. It is available at christianwhistleblower.com. I recommend you get the paperback so you can take it with you wherever you like and read it. But if not, there is a very low-cost e-book version as well. That's the Diamond New Testament, the only edition of the New Testament in proper chronological order. And we have also removed the words of the false apostle Paul. So that is the Diamond New Testament. And that's your little diamonds and dung segment for this evening. And I also want to bring to you a little study, a little thought each week about the words of Yeshua. The words of Yeshua as from his mouth to our ears. The words of Yeshua and the first words of Yeshua spoken, again, in chronological order. Don't come in Matthew, but the first words that Yeshua spoke chronologically would have come in the book of Mark, the first chapter of the book of Mark. And we just want to look at the words of Yeshua because looking at the words of Yeshua, man, that's really the best way that we could find to actually understand what Yeshua is talking about, right? So I think that's the best thing that we can actually do is look at the actual words of Yeshua and look at them in the correct chronological order. And I just want to double check to make sure we are in the correct chronological order and make sure we've got the right book. Mark was written first, somewhere between 57 and 63. Luke was also written in about 63. So you could say, either one of those. Matthew was written in about 66. John, not until way back in about 85. So probably Mark is the first words of Yeshua. And Mark, starts out talking about John the Baptist, how John the Baptist was baptizing, how he was making the path of Yeshua straight, how he said that Yeshua is mightier than he is. And then it talks a little bit about the baptism of Yeshua and Yeshua going into the wilderness for 40 days and, of course, 40 nights. Talks about John the Baptist getting put into prison. And here are the very first words that ever came out of the mouth of Yeshua. You ready? The very first words that ever came out of the mouth of Yeshua were, the time is fulfilled, The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The very first words of Yeshua were, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Those were the very first words of Yeshua. And if you want to know what Yeshua was all about, the best thing to do is read the words that came of his mouth. We don't want to talk about a gospel about Yeshua. We want to talk about the gospel of Yeshua. And the first thing he said was, the kingdom is at hand, repent. What was the repentance for? It goes right back to verse 4. The repentance of baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Folks, that's huge. Because up until that time, what was the prescription for the forgiveness of sins? Take a poor animal to the priest, have the priest kill him, and the blood is what would cleanse the sin of the people. And then once a year, of course, the high priest would take blood, put it on the Ark of the Covenant in the holy place, the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and that would take care of the sins of the nation. But Yeshua, in his very first word, says, repent. And by repent, what he was referring right back to verse 4, baptism for forgiveness. So from his very first words in the New Testament, Yeshua was trashing the dominant paradigm of blood sacrifice. Yeshua was saying, I know that the Jews are telling you, you got to sacrifice blood to get your sins forgiven. I know that rat bastard Paul's going to come and tell you, you got to have bloodshed to have your sins forgiven. And Paul did say, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. That's what Paul said. Yeshua, very first words out of his mouth, repentance, sins being forgiven, is through what? Water baptism. Folks, that is extraordinary. That is huge. And that is diametrically opposed to what religion is teaching you today. And it's diametrically opposed to what religion has conned us all into believing. Yeshua, from the very first words out of his mouth, was teaching something very, very different from the dominant religious paradigm of that day and from the dominant religious paradigm of today. Because we still, my Catholic friends, have you marching into your mass, having your blood, having your flesh, transubstantiation, the Eucharist becoming the flesh, the wine becoming the blood. You believe that it literally, your church teaches that it literally becomes the blood and the body of plastic Jesus. And you Protestants are having your communion, oh, but it's just symbolic. But it's still about blood. It's still about flesh. It's still tying you back to that old order of things, that old Judaic order of things, that old Pauline order of things. And Yeshua said, hey, look, bros, I'm telling you, forget about the shedding of blood. Repentance, washing away of sin by water. And then he said, it's the kingdom of God. The first thing that Yeshua was talking about was the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Yeshua said, and again, Luke is concurrent with this. Luke said, Yeshua said, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. The spark of divinity is in you. Forget about sin, blood. Realize that the kingdom of heaven's in you, the spark of divinity is in you, and just wash away your energetic difficulties with water baptism. It's not what Daugherty says, it's what Yeshua says, and that is straight from the mouth of Yeshua. And that is your little bit of walk in the word there. The words of Yeshua, the words of Yeshua in red, if you want to name, we need to name that segment. Somebody can suggest a name for that words of Yeshua segment about what the man said. It's our what the man said segment because Yeshua is absolutely the man. And we're looking at what he said. And between the Diamonds and Doug segment and between the What the Man Said segment, that should have some of your heads spinning, because that's information that hasn't been talked about in 2,000 years. And this is the truth that Yeshua said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you get those truths that we've just discussed down on your inside, it will set you free. Guaranteed, my friend. Now, let's move into something else. Let's talk about programming. Let's talk about why religion does the things it does. Let's talk about why your church does the things it does. Whether you are a Roman Catholic, why does your Roman Catholic church do things the way it does? Whether you're a Roman Protestant, why does your Roman Protestant church do things the way it does? Let me just say this to you, that there is nothing in your religious experience that is random. There is nothing in your religious experience that is happenstance. There is nothing in your religious experience that is not highly planned, highly organized, and carried out in an exacting manner to produce a specific effect upon your person. The religions that are controlling your life are just as systematic as the governmental entities that are controlling your life. The religions, the power and ways of religious control is just as systematic as the power and ways of political control. It's just as systematic as the power and ways of social control. It's only Tuesday. I'm doing so much radio, trying to get this word out. The voice gets a little thin. I hope that you'll forgive me for that. But the religious entities that are seeking to control you are just as systematic, just as detailed, just as refined, and just as by the numbers as the political, social, and financial institutions that seek to keep you under control. And if you think about how corporations, let's just talk about corporations. Corporations obviously are not really in business to help you. They're not really in business to help me. Corporations are in business to help their stockholders. That's a good slip there. Their shareholders, their stockholders, realize a profit, and that means selling stuff to as many people as possible. And in order to sell stuff to people, the best way to do that is to communicate into their subconscious mind so that they buy things without even having to think about it. You program people to be your market share. You program people to be your customers. The best way to do this is to program the subconscious, because the subconscious doesn't have the type of filters that your conscious mind does. Now, If you words that you see on a commercial, words that you see in an ad, words that you hear, they do have an effect on your conscious mind, obviously. But the strongest way to influence somebody is in their subconscious mind. And what is the best way to influence people in their subconscious mind? I'll give a little pause so some of you can discern that yourself. It's through the use of symbolism. Why do corporations spend so much money, work so hard, and are so fiercely protective over their logos? What are logos? Logos are nothing more than symbols. And symbols are incredibly powerful because they have the ability to bypass your conscious mind and make tremendous impact on your subconscious mind. And if you don't believe me, how about if I had a yellow pen and I drew some golden arches like that? What is that? Bam! You know what that is. What if I took some It was a red background. I took a white pen and, you know, made some real fancy script, right? Oh, yeah, and, you know, a bottle shape, you know, like that. Oh, yeah, you know what that is? How about a circle with the top of it blue or red and the bottom of it blue? You know what that is? How about a swoosh stripe? You know what that is? Do you still doubt the power of symbols? And if you are a customer of those brands, when I talk about, you know, the arches or whatever, it has an effect upon you. When I talk about the swoosh, it has an effect upon you. Or what about you football fans, when we talk about a blue star? That creates some an impact on you, doesn't it? Or, you know, I'm a Tampa Bay Lightning fan. If I see that lightning bolt across a circle, that has an effect on me. Symbols speak directly and powerfully into your subconscious. That's why sports teams, which are great big what? Corporations. And that's why corporations, and I mean, these people are very, very zealous and jealous about protecting those trademarks. I mean, to the point where they don't even let Little League teams, Little League kids use them on their uniforms any longer in most cases, because they're protecting that trademark, that logo, because of the tremendous power that it has in your subconscious to keep you a customer. And of course, if you know, Little League kids are using it out of context, then it weakens the power of the brand, and it weakens that subconscious link and makes it a little less likely that you will be buying their stuff. So the point is that symbols are very, 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 very powerful and are employed by corporations. And guess what religions are? I'll give you a second to think about while I take a drink. Religions are just great big corporations too. Oh, no, they're non-profit. Yeah, that's because the government made up some silly thing. But have no doubt about it, they're great big huge corporations. In fact, probably the Roman Catholic Church is the most wealthy corporation in the world, most likely. And there's a lot of Protestant denominations, including the Church of Plastic Jesus of Latter-day Saints, that would be up there as well, Southern Baptist Convention, things of that nature. But they're just great big corporations. And just like other corporations, and think even about, what are governments? Governments are great big corporations, right? And if I show you a flag with some stars and stripes on it, and you're an American, or I show you a white flag with two red bars on the outside and a red maple leaf in the middle of it, if you're Canadian, that symbol is going to have a profound and powerful subconscious effect upon you. So governments are corporations, sports teams are corporations, businesses are corporations, religions are corporations. We see that all the corporations use symbols to speak powerfully and directly into the subconscious of their customers. What about your religions, corporations? Well, Jeff, they're not really using symbols. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, well, let's think about this. Whether you are a Protestant or a Catholic, think about what your church buildings look like. I'll wait. They almost always have a steeple on them, don't they? A steeple is a symbol. Almost always they have a cross on them. What's a cross? It's a symbol. Lots and lots and lots of them have stained glass windows. What are they? Symbols. And you're not even inside the place yet. Not even inside. Now, what happens when you walk in? Now, if you're a Roman Catholic, you walk in and you got the bird bath here with the holy water in it. I know that's blasphemous, but it's kind of funny, you know, old Protestant. But you got the bird bath over there with the water in it. Symbol. You got statues in there. Symbols. You got the granddaddy of all symbols hanging up there in the front of the place. Plastic Jesus nailed to a cross. You got the crucifix. Man, that's the granddaddy of all symbols. And what's the first thing you do, my Catholic friend, when you walk into that church? I think you dip in the bird bath, and then you do the homina, 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 homina thing. And I'm being blasphemous because I'm not a Catholic, but you get the point. The first thing you do is cross yourself. Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, whatever. So not only are you watching the symbol, seeing the symbol, taking the symbol in, as a Roman Catholic, you're actually branding yourself, as it were, with the symbol. And how many of you have literally branded yourself with tattoos of crucifixes or crosses? And you Roman Protestants, you walk into your church and you don't have any statues, you don't have a bird bath, but you got the granddaddy of all symbols up there, usually without a dead dude on it. You got the cross. Most of you don't cross yourself, but a lot of you do have cross tattoos. But you've still got the stained glass. You've still got the cross. Most of you have a big table up front that's for communion, so you got that sitting there all the time. Most of your Protestants, you have a big, huge Bible. I mean, like a big Bible. So there's symbology throughout the church. And you haven't even sat down yet. And we could talk about pews being symbolic as well. But not all the churches have pews. But think of all that symbolism. And think of all the deep impressions and imprint it's making in your subconscious mind. And you haven't even sat down yet. You've just walked in to the place. And you're being assaulted by symbols. And it is a well-thought-out, highly organized, highly ritualized, on-purpose situation that all of these symbols are being fostered upon you because they're trying to bypass your subconscious mind, just like the other corporations, and lock you in subconsciously, just like the other corporations, to be there customers. And of course, they have some advantages that other corporations don't have, because I mean, Coca-Cola can't tell you you're going to hell if you don't drink it. So they use all of their advantages, and they use all of the same tactics of the other corporations. And that's just the symbology part. And then what's another great way to create, okay, symbols get through your conscious mind and make great impressions in your subconscious thoughts. And the next best way to get to your subconscious is to induce a trance state that kind of causes your conscious mind to shut down and again opens up your subconscious for direct depositing of information, of indoctrination. And how do most of the services start, whether they're Catholic, whether they're Protestant? Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, and let's listen to a prayer. Folks, can't you see that that is the inducing of a trance state? Close your eyes, bow your head, even though when Yeshua prayed, he opened his eyes and he looked to heaven. See, that doesn't induce trance state. That puts you in contact with what you're trying to get in contact with. But Christianity, Roman Catholic, Roman Protestant says, close your eyes, which helps induce a trance state. They say, bow your heads, which helps induce a trance state. The Catholic version will have the priest saying something, going into your mind in a trance state. You parroting it, reading it back, which even further creates a trance state. In the Protestant churches, you sing these moving songs, which do what? Create. Why? So that imagery, indoctrination can be implanted deep, 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 deep into your subconscious mind. Music, joint statements. What do they call that when the preacher reads and you read, responsive reading? When you all pray together, you got your. Think about it. Think about it. The music's playing, boom, 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 boom. Everybody, please close your eyes. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody, bow your heads. Boom, 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 boom. Repeat after me. Boom, 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 boom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. While the music continues to play in the background, thy kingdom come, your eyes are closed, thy will be done, your head is bowed, the music is playing, you are going to feel yourself falling asleep. Your eyelids are getting heavier and heavier at the sound of my voice. I think you get my point. It's the same damn thing. It's all about using symbols to communicate to your subconscious mind. It's all about inducing trance states to communicate to your subconscious mind. This is why, my friend, that you can realize that what they're saying is wrong. You can realize all the flaws. You can realize all the contradictions. You can realize all the hypocrisies, and yet it's so, so difficult for you to leave, even when you know that it's wrong, and even when you know that you should, because they have been programming you ever since you were carried in as a baby and got sprinkled or dedicated or whatever they do. Wherever you go, you've been listening to this stuff for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And you're thoroughly, totally, completely programmed, brainwashed, indoctrinated. Why do you think I make such a big deal about unindoctrinate yourself? Well, now that you know that you're indoctrinated, maybe that'll make you want to indoctrinate yourself. Well, that's the Christian Whistleblower for this week. I am your Christian Whistleblower, Jeffrey Daugherty. You can find me at jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com. And until next week, I am sending you much peace, much light, and I'm encouraging you, especially after what you know now, I'm encouraging you to indoctrinate yourself. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, and we'll be back next week.
Stay connected to the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. Follow Jeffrey Daugherty on Twitter at Unindoctrinate. On Facebook, Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today. Learn to unindoctrinate yourself. Create yourself and live the life you'll love.